And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show! Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who just can't watch the Olympics for more than 3 minutes. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, oh boy, is it gorgeous today here on Milleronia. And it's such a beautiful island. I'm so glad I, bought it, built it, created the whole community in the sense of, Milleroniism. And, it's so great to be back here. And, of course, with Colonel Jeff and my two little doggies who always come to the studio with us to do the show. And it's just beautiful. And, of course, as always, the music makes me so happy. That's the Jose Ferrar Orchestra and the Lindsey Vonn Dancers, featuring boy tenor John Wagner, asking the musical question, is it okay to wish Chinese people Happy New Year in February? No. No, John, it is not. Now, for those of you who didn't know, yes, the Chinese New Year is in February. And I didn't know that. That's why I had to ask the colonel, what does that mean? And he said, well, that's Happy New Year in to the Chinese people in February. But no, no, you're not, John. Because it would be, is it, you know, okay to wish Chinese people Happy New Year in February? It would be, but only if they all agreed to stop dedicating their years to dogs and rats and snakes, which frankly creeps me out. I don't know about you. I mean, it's enough already. What is it, 7,000 years it's got to be or something? And you want to say, you know, it's enough with bats and things that drink blood, then that's the new year? Come on. So, but there is good news. The good news is that it's absolutely okay for them to wish you a happy new year at the regular time, January 1st. And going with our rules that, remember, we set up after this past new year, of that they would still only have 2 or 3 days to do it too, otherwise they'd start looking stupid. And so you know what? Is it okay to wish them a Happy New Year in February? No. If they finally agreed to stop dedicating their years to horrible little ugly animals, yes. But they won't do that. They're not going to do that. John, good question. But no, it is not okay unless they make the step first. And by the way, it's mentioning of the Jose Ferrar Orchestra. Jose Ferrar, one of the greatest actors we've ever had, and that Hollywood ever made, really. Good Lord, what a wonderful actor. And, by the way, the father to Miguel Ferrar, who sadly just passed away about a year ago. Oh, what, that family was so talented. Miguel Ferrar, what a great actor he was. And Jose, by the way, was married to the great Rosemary Clooney. And I've mentioned her before, and Colonel Jeff agrees. I'm just completely in love with her and always have been. Oh, what a wonderful actress and what a great singer. Come On to My House is one of her big hits. But, oh, and she was one of the stars of White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. And, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't figure that other wonderful actress's name. I can't remember her. But Rosemary Clooney, as wonderful and brilliant and gorgeous as she was the aunt of George Clooney, whom you all know. And he's pretty great, too. And he's looking good-looking fella himself. But at any rate, oh, the Jose Ferrar Orchestra, there's more to tell you about him. And there's more to tell you about the Lindsey Vonn Dancers. Because speaking of, someone who's just fabulous and brilliant and hardworking and gorgeous. Did I just say gorgeous? Yes, Colonel Jeff and I both agree that she's just holy mackerel pretty. And, But more on them later. Which brings me to my favorite part of the show, the joke of the week. That's right. I love doing this, and as I've told you many times and will many more times, that I love bringing a joke that I can give to you, and that if you like it, you can pass along to your friends and family and loved ones and anyone you see, even someone you run into on the street. And, yeah, and by the way, if you run into Lindsey Vonn, God bless her, tell her that, well, Larry Miller and Colonel Jeff love her. Because we do. At any rate, this is a great joke of the week. And I think you know, like this one. The Colonel and I both liked it very much. Young fella in a suburban neighborhood comes home one night, and his father says, "Oh, hi, good to see you. What's up?" And he says, "Dad, I think I've met her. I think I've met the girl of my dreams." And the father says, "Well, that's great to hear. Well, tell me about her. Where is she, and who is she?" And he says, "Well, it's Sandra from next door." And the father kind of looks a little awkward and says, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm just going to tell you, son, but you can't go out with her anymore. She's not the girl next door. She's your sister." And the young fellow says, "Oh. Oh, oh." And I guess that was the end of that. And then, sure, and a few days later, he comes back home, and his father says, "Hi, son, good to see you. What's going on?" "Well, Dad, you were right. It turns out that I met another girl I like twice as much as Sandra, and I think she's the one, and I think I could really love her, and that she could love me." And the father says, "Well, that's wonderful to hear. Who is that? Who's this one?" And he says, "Well, it's Stephanie from across the street." And the father again looks just seized with awkwardness, and he says, "Son, I'm sorry, but she's your sister too, so you can't go any further with her." And the son is, oh boy, and yet another few days later comes by, and he says, "Dad, I had a great day today, and yes, you were right again. I met someone else, and I think I already love her anyway." And who's that? "It's Bernice from across town, and I know her from school." And the father, "Look, I'm just going to say it again. She's your sister too, and I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You can't go out with her anymore." And now at this point, the son is, well, he's kind of broken up, and he goes up to his room, and he sits there, and tears start coming down his face. What's he going to do here? And his mother hears him kind of crying, and she comes into his room and says, "What's wrong, Bobby?" And he says to him, and he just tells her that I met all these girls, and I really like them. And then that dad says, "No, they're all my sisters, and that I can't go out with them." His mom sits down on the bed there and, you know, puts her arm around her and says, "Listen, you know what? First of all, don't worry about it. You can date any of them. He's not your father." That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Wow, this is, by the way, a heck of a family. Thanksgiving must be a little crazy at their place. But we got a big kick out of that one here, and I hope you did too. Colonel Jeff and I like it. And if you do, once again, please pass it along to your friends and family and loved ones. And tell them where you heard it. And that brings me to my second favorite part of the show, the Poetry Corner. The Poetry Corner here on Milleronia. I was just thinking during the theme, by the way, that would be a crazy family, wouldn't it? The one from the joke, I mean, that's just, oh, come on. The father is just carrying on with every woman in the whole neighborhood, in the whole town. And to the extent where all the girl babies are his. And then, well, it turns out mom is carrying on too a little bit. Oops. Yikes. In any case, this is the Poetry Corner. And this one's not about that. This is a wonderful poem by the great John Clare. I've read from him before. He was an English poet and lived from 1793 to 1864, and he was known in particular for his celebrations of the English countryside. This was quite a fella, and he wrote this one called Emmonsale's Heath in Winter by John Clare, and I hope you like it. I love to see the old heath's withered brake, mingle its crimpled leaves with firs and ling, while the old heron from the lonely lake starts slow and flaps its melancholy wing. An oddling crow in idle motion swing on the half-rotten ash tree's topmost twig, beside whose trunk the gypsy makes his bed. Up flies the bouncing woodcock from the brig, where a black quagmire quakes beneath the tread. The field fares chatter in the whistling thorn, and for the haw round fields and closen rove, and coy bum-barrels, 20 in a drove, flit down the hedgerows in the frozen plain, and hang on little twigs and start again. Well, that is lovely, isn't it? He did, Mr. Clare did write, well, beautiful celebrations of the English countryside. And they weren't his daughters, but I can't get away from that. But, you know, folks, I hope you like that. Emmonsale's Heath in Winter by the great John Clare. And that brings me to my third favorite part of the show. MMM Triple. Oh, and folks, this is a good one, and a good sense of what's magical about it, too. It's a great movie from a great book. The Caine Mutiny from 1954. Stanley Kramer, who, well, a great writer and became a great director, too, Stanley Kramer wrote the screenplay from the wonderful novel by the great Herman Wouk, starring, what a cast this was, starring Humphrey Bogart, Fred McMurray, Van Johnson, Jose Farrar, and that's why I mentioned him before. Boy, oh boy, Jose Farrar, so great. All of them, though. And you know what? Please see this if you haven't. It's a beautiful movie and very intriguing. But, you know, there was a great acting lesson in it. And that's the magic movie moment lesson from me to you today. And it comes in the form of a lesson. And it may be one of the greatest acting lessons I've ever learned. I was working on the terrific show Law and Order. In fact, I did 3 episodes of that. I was very grateful. Oh, boy. What a show that was, and still is. And Michael Chernichin, the writer-producer at the time, and Dick Wolf created it, but boy, oh boy, they put me in the show there, and I got to know Jerry Orbach. I got to know a bunch of the folks there, but I loved getting to know Jerry Orbach. He passed on himself just a few years ago, but what a great actor he was, and what a great thinker. He was so smart. And he knew so much about how to study acting and how to be a good actor and how to be a better actor. And one day, he and I were yakking and on the set in one of the rooms off the main set where the cameras were. And we were talking about acting technique. And he was talking, what a good lesson this was. He said, well, you notice that a lot of the actors today, in fact, all the actors today, overact. They tend to really get involved with every word they're saying, and they just have emotions on every word, and their eyes are in pain, and their hands move this way and that way, and it's far slower than it should be. If you notice that they take pauses and breaks and whatever they're saying, and if it's a great dramatic speech, they don't know quite how to act it. They don't know quite how to read it. And it's no good for you either. It's no good for whoever's watching it, because you're not enjoying the part of the movie or the television show it takes place. You're not enjoying anything, really, and you're not getting it. And he said, that's why I've learned, he said, to use Spencer Tracy's old adage. And the great Spencer Tracy used to say, just say the words and don't bump into the furniture. And that's wonderful acting advice, too. And Jerry started telling me a lot of the greatest actors we have spoke much more fluently and much faster and didn't overact each word or each breath. And he brought up Humphrey Bogart in the Caine Mutiny. And he was saying how at one point, not a court-martial on board ship, but essentially it's close to that, and because they're looking for the missing strawberries. That was a big part of a dinner, and Humphrey Bogart, who played, the captain of the ship, and he came down a little later because he wanted some more of those good strawberries, and they were all gone. Somebody had plowed through them. And they weren't in the freezer on board ship anymore. And, Humphrey Bogart goes a little crazy. He said, you know what? I'm going to find out who did this and how it was done. And, he starts in the speech he makes in this trial on board ship. We see that he's a little troubled, and he's a real professional Navy man. And unlike all the other officers and all the other crewmen, and he's talking about these strawberries, and Jerry Orbach was telling me, watch how he delivers that speech. It's a great dramatic tale of what he went through, and it starts with, you may know it already, but the strawberries, that's where I had them, where I knew I could prove with geometric logic that was, and he said, and I could even hear it as Jerry went through that speech. He had it memorized. And he was right. I could remember it from the movie, that the great Humphrey Bogart just says, but the strawberries, that's where I had them. And he just goes through it. And he just reads it at a good pace and lets the character he already made bring the drama to the fore. And so he doesn't overact. He doesn't overbreathe. He doesn't move around in the chair where he's sitting on the trial. He doesn't move his hands. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't look up. He doesn't look down. He just delivers it. Say the words and don't bump into the furniture. And folks, it was brilliant acting and a great choice from a great school of acting and a great lesson I learned that day from one of the best also, Jerry Orbach. God bless him. But boy, oh boy, you know what? It's a good lesson for you too, folks, for all sorts of things in life. But do this. See the Caine Mutiny. One of these days, if you've seen it already, see it again. See it another 10 times. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's a great movie. And oh boy, and Humphrey Bogart as the defense attorney in the Navy at the real court-martial that the movie builds to, and they're all just wonderful. But when you see it, watch not only the great acting from everyone, but watch how good Humphrey Bogart is, and watch how good he was, and watch how he speaks, and learn that's how you be a good actor. Spencer Tracy's wonderful advice. Say the words and don't bump into the furniture. Thank you, Mr. Bogart, and thank you, Mr. Orbach. Boy, Jerry Orbach. really something. And, well, the Olympics are still on, and they're in Korea, in South Korea, and they've been a little weird. They're always a little weird and to me, and I'm. Have you noticed that, first of all, to start with, everyone you speak to, whether it's friends or people you know from work, everyone doesn't ask what you like. No one comes up to you when the Olympics are on, especially the Winter Olympics. But I mean, no one comes up to you and says, hey, what do you like this time about the Olympics? What do? They ask if you're watching. Everyone I know has always said, so are you watching the Olympics? And that's already telling you what they think. My answer is, well, no, I'm not. Because they knew it and you knew it. No one really watches the Olympics. So they don't ask what you like about it. They ask if you're watching it. And the answer is, no, you don't. No, you're not watching because you aren't watching. You're not a fan of the Olympics. And you know what? There are people who are unbelievable. I can't tell you, though, by the way, that when it comes to skaters or skiers, they work so hard. You know this. They work so hard at what they do. And you know that. And then they make a fall. They drop. They fall. They spin out. They do something. You want to say, holy mackerel, come on. You know, I'm sorry that happened, but really all these years of all that work. And you want to say to them, well, at least it wasn't an important night. It's only the Olympics for a medal. But you know what? That's why I can't really watch that. And I know, by the way, that they're all built like 9-year-olds. If you think about it, this is when they get off the ice and they go sit on the bench there in between their two coaches and they're waiting for the score to come up. And this is an important thing. And you realize, well, the coaches look like, well, human beings. They look like 6-foot-tall adults. And then in the middle, you think to yourself, wait a minute, how did that third grader get in there? And, oh, wait a minute, that's the skater. That was the guy. And you realize he's about 92 pounds and about 5 feet tall. And, you know, I'm not, I just want to, I feel bad for the guy. He fell. The same with the young women, and they're all, good Lord, they're so tiny. Do they have to be that tiny? And that's why, by the way, the one I is not tiny and who is fantastic and talented and works so hard and just won a bronze medal. And that's Lindsey Vonn. That's why I brought her up before. And the Colonel feels the same way. And she's not only fantastic, she's gorgeous. I mean, she's just really something. You look at her in the picture of where she's holding up. She's proud. She just won the medal, and she's got an American flag she's holding up behind her on both ends, and she's still got the uniform on. I'm sorry. I mean, she's just, she kills me. She's in a great way, and Colonel Jeff feels the same way. She's just, holy mackerel. You know, she's got, talk about confidence and guts. No one has ever had now, or ever has, what she has had and what she has right now. How fast is she going? You know, she's got such strength. I mean, you look at her go down those things. And what is that, 60, 80, 100? And she's so powerful and tremendous to watch. And she takes those goggles off and smiles, and you think, holy mackerel. You know, that's meant as a great compliment. It didn't sound that way, maybe, but I just... Yes, the Colonel and I, and I'll bet you all of you out there, too, just love her. And I can tell you what every guy thinks. Every guy watching her thinks also, gee, could she ever fall for me? And I think the answer is, well, yeah, sure, yes. But you'd have to have a long talk with her in the beginning about how little you bring to the relationship, which is true. I mean, you know, what could you offer her? You know, that because, you know, I think I and every guy listening, and Colonel Jeff too, we'd all be pretty good at the smiling and holding hands part, you know, and I And I hope she is too, but she does so much. And then she has to go work out and get tough and strong again. And it adds to her beauty. And, you know, but it's just physically and emotionally, I think she'd be so tough that going out with her and, you know, after my feeling is that after making love, that when you'd be there and you're still, you know, together and she would look up at you. And you'd just be, hey, you know, and of course, she hasn't changed a bit, you know, she's just, and she would look up at you and say, you're kidding, right? I mean, this is some sort of joke from you. You're a comedian, but you're not done, are you? Because that was nothing. It didn't even, never mind, it didn't faze her. Not one tiny bit. And when then she realizes your eyes are still crossed and you can't even, what? Yeah, that was it. And that she would just, at that point, I have a feeling she would just, you know, take her arms from around you, drop her arms, and just with one flex, shoot you across the room at about 35 miles an hour into the stone wall of whatever castle you're in, you know. And you hit that wall and bam-o. And I would still, well, I'd still love her. So would Colonel Jeff. And then the manager of the hotel bar, by the way, would say to Lindsay, by the way, every female skier and skater is downstairs to tell the guy that. And they'd love to meet you. But what? No, they all look like 9-year-olds. They all look like they're essentially in third grade. But I wonder why, though. They work so hard to get there. You know how much they work. We don't know how much they. It's all astonishing. Years, not 2 years. It's 15 years of work, 20 years of work, constant work, more, and they're working steadily through it. They all weigh about 90 pounds, and they all look like, well, a 9-year-old sitting between the two coaches on the bench there. Was it always this way in the Olympics? That's what I've been wondering. I mean, if so, why? Shouldn't they be tougher than this? Are they tougher in the Summer Olympics? That's what I was wondering, and Colonel Jeff and I were saying. I mean, wouldn't they have to be tougher? Aren't the basketball players tough? Men's, women's? I mean, they're not like a junior high team from Rhode Island, are they? That would be an Olympics event I could dig, I could really get into. Men and women on teams where that they're so tough and so strong, they just sort of pose, and each one looks like a Russian weightlifter. And that's why, by the way, that's why they happen, I think, every 4 years for the Olympics. Does it make it more special because they're only every 4 years? Well, not to me. I mean, it's okay, you say so, I guess, but I just think it's every 4 years because I just couldn't take it more often. Maybe you're the same way on this, that about every 4 years is more than I can handle. I don't need the, and now, and so 8 months later is more Olympics. I couldn't take that because then everybody looks the same. Bring the summer one and the winter one together. I don't care what you do, really. I adore and respect all these athletes. I don't know what they have to do to get in that kind of shape or, boy, oh boy, or the hurt they have to put on themselves or the damage they have to do to their growing bodies. I don't know. Every 4 years is more than I can take. But I tell you what I could take, and the Colonel agrees with this. How about a Lindsay Vonn channel? A whole channel dedicated to her. And the Olympics people would say, but just, what about the, you know, the skaters are just, you know, still working out. No, yeah, but look at the skaters. You can't see them between the two coaches. I'm frankly not interested in them. Well, but Lindsay, yes, Lindsay is the greatest skier in history, and she's Lindsay Vonn. Come on! Are you out of your mind? One of these days, I hope I meet her, and who knows, maybe I'll be with Colonel Jeff at the time. And she could look at us, and we would tell her, the truth. Sorry to bother you. We're huge fans, and we're completely in love with you, and we'll just let you go so you can do all sorts of the things you do and have to do. Unless, of course, you have a really, really good reason why we should stay, and probably not, but you know what, folks? I know that. That would be great. God bless her. She won a medal, and, well, here at the Larry Miller Show, the whole production staff and all the executives, with me and Colonel Jeff, we're crazy about her. And I know that, and you know that. We know the same things. Homer is Homer, and Pluto is a planet. So remember, folks, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. And that's the truth whether you're in the Olympics or not. We love you, Lindsay. We'll see you here next time, folks.